The following is a Sunday Feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9, text number 22, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on May 27th, 2012, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ananyaschintayanto mam ye jana paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogacemam vahamyaham ananyaschintayanto mam ye jana prayupasate tesham nichabhiyuktanam yogacemam vahamyaham. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Purport. One who was unable to live for a moment without Krishna consciousness cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day, being engaged in devotional service by hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, rendering other services, cultivating friendship, and surrendering fully to the Lord. Such activities are all auspicious and full of spiritual potencies, which make the devotee perfect in self-realization, so that his only desire is to achieve the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee undoubtedly approaches the Lord without difficulty. This is called yoga. By the mercy of the Lord, such a devotee never comes back to this material condition of life. Chema refers to the merciful protection of the Lord. The Lord helps the devotee to achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga. And when he becomes fully Krishna conscious, the Lord protects him from falling down to a miserable, conditioned life. Bandeham Shri Bara Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaitam Zavadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, you don't really have to worry about anything except for becoming Krishna conscious. That's the point. Just think, there's no reason to be in anxiety about anything except being Krishna conscious. If you can become Krishna conscious, as described by Krishna in this verse, then all your problems are finished. That's all you have to do, sir. That's all you have to do, ma'am. All you have to do is be Krishna conscious. And Krishna says, if you do so, I'll personally take care of everything you need. I will personally deliver to you everything that you require. All you have to do is be Krishna conscious. What sort of Krishna consciousness is Krishna speaking of here? Mixed Krishna consciousness? Or pure Krishna consciousness? You got the point. Krishna says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion. Now, what does that mean, exclusive devotion? That means Krishna is my object of devotion and everybody else is excluded. Keep your attention here. Everybody else is excluded. Wow, I mean, someone may say, isn't that being impersonal? I only love Krishna and nobody else? That would be rather rude, wouldn't it be, to my friends, my parents, my wife, my kids, my dog? Wouldn't that be rude to give my love exclusively to Krishna? Well, from a material point of view, that would be rude. But this is not material. Loving Krishna is not material. Do you understand? It is not material. Why? When you water the root of the tree, what happens? Do you water only the root? When you feed your belly, are you feeding only your belly? No. When you water the root of the tree, every single leaf and branch on that tree becomes watered. When you feed your belly, every single cell of your body becomes nourished. You may say, well, I prefer not to do it that way. I'd rather feed every cell separately. So instead of putting the food in my belly, I will fill the bathtub with dal, and I will soak in the bathtub of dal. That way I'll feed my body. I don't feel like giving all my food to the stomach. That would be not democratic, to give all my food to the stomach. I want to be democratic. I will feed every cell. I will soak in the bathtub of dal, and that way I'll feed myself. Well, will you get the nutrition if you soak yourself in a bathtub of dal? Will you get the nutrition you need? No, you will not. So instead of trying to concoct our idea of what is loving service, we should understand from the acharyas, we should understand from Krishna, what is the actual means of giving loving service to all living entities? By giving our exclusive love to Krishna as described here in this verse, then we become the best husband, the best wife, the best son, the best daughter, the best father, the best brother, the best sister, the best neighbor, the best friend, the best citizen, etc., etc., etc. Take Krishna as your authority. Stop listening to your mind. Take Krishna as your authority. Krishna says, this is how you do it. This is how you be actually a loving person. This is how you actually become happy. Take Krishna's words and follow them. That's what spiritual life means. Otherwise, it's not spiritual life. It's material life in the name of spiritual life only. I call myself a Hindu, a Christian, a Jain, a Sikh, but I'm simply thinking how I can get material sense gratification. This is bogus. Don't be a bogus religionist. Be an actual pure devotee of the Lord. This is what Krishna is saying here in this verse. Be an actual pure devotee of the Lord. And if you do so, you'll get the supreme benefit. You'll become completely free from anxiety. No more anxiety for all of eternity. Do you know how powerful Krishna consciousness is? One who becomes purely Krishna conscious, he never has any anxiety for all of eternity. He becomes absolutely 100% anxiety free for all of eternity. But you can't have that if you mix your Krishna consciousness with sense gratification. To whatever degree you mix Krishna consciousness with sense gratification, to that degree you must continue to experience anxiety. Do you understand? You must continue to experience anxiety. So don't cheat yourself. Why suffer unnecessarily? You are an eternal servant of Krishna, as confirmed by Lord Chaitanya. Jivera Savarupahai Krishnara Nityadas. The constitutional position of a living entity is that he is the eternal Krishna's servant. So why not just be who you are? Why are you trying to be what you're not? You see, our problem in this world is we are trying to be what we are not. Can you be what you're not? No, you can never be what you're not. But we are programmed to try to be what we are not from the very moment we come out of the womb. What do they say? Oh, look, it's a boy. It's a girl. Are you a boy or a girl? No, you're a spirit soul. But you're being programmed from the very moment you come out of the womb that I am a boy. And they say, now be a good little boy, Amit. Be a good little boy. Be a good little girl, you see? Purna, be a good little girl. But that's not true. You can't be a boy or a girl because you're not a boy or a girl. We're trying to be what we're not. That's why from the very beginning, even within the womb of our mother, we should be hearing Krishna Katha. So when we come out of the womb, and they say, another spirit soul has come to engage in the service of the Lord, you see. From the very beginning, we should be trained. We didn't get that. Most of us didn't get that. But now, by Prabhupada's mercy, you see, it's never too late. It's never too late. Prabhupada's mercy is here. By the mercy of Prabhupada, we can all get the proper training to understand I'm not male, I'm not female. You see? Sarvapadivanir muktam. We can become free from all these false designations. Sarvapadivanir muktam tatpadatvena nirmalam. We can cleanse our heart by this process of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. These hearts which are so filled up with dirt, they can become nirmal or free from the dirt, you see. And how do we do this? Rishikesha, Rishikesha Sevanam. Engage your senses in the service of the master of the senses. This is how you do it. You see, and that is called devotional service, you see. So if anyone has questions as I'm speaking, write them down. I'll be asking for questions very soon. Please write your questions down. So, this is the process. This process of Krishna consciousness is effective. This process of Krishna consciousness is real. This is the very process that person who has created us, who has created this whole world, is giving us how to get out of our entanglement in birth and death. We are not presenting another religion here. Religions are made up by men. They invent different religions. It's a political thing. But actual religion, dharman tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, actual religion is given by God. That is stated in Bhagavatam. Religion means the process of relinking. Religion comes from the Latin word religio. So relink with the Supreme. That is religion. There is a universal science of religion. It's beyond Hindu, Christian, Jain, Sikh, Buddhist, Muslim, and all these different religious, so-called religious designations. It is transcendental to all these designations. Real religion means to reconnect with the Supreme Source of Existence, that Supreme Person who is emanating everything from Himself. And who is that? Is that Shiva? Is that Brahma? Is that Durga? Not according to Bhagavad Gita. According to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna states in chapter 10, text number 8, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. Well, what does everything mean? Does it mean some of the things? It means some of the... No, everything means everything. That means Brahma comes from Krishna, Shiva comes from Krishna, Durga comes from Vishnu, from Krishna, Vishnu comes from Krishna, I come from Krishna, Mauritius comes from Krishna, Europe comes from Krishna, the earth planet, the sun, the moon, everything is emanating from Krishna. He is the source of everything. So when you reconnect with Krishna, are you disconnected from anything? No. When you reconnect with Krishna, now you're connected with everything. You see, in the modern day world, people want to get on the internet. They want to be online. You see, they want to log in and be online because they feel connected when they're online. But that internet is very limited. If you really want to be online, then you have to log in to the Krishna net. You see? Because Krishna is absolutely connected with everything, not only the present, but the past, future, everything. Krishna is absolutely connected with everything. So how do you log into the Krishna net? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you train yourself properly, you can be online 24 hours a day with Krishna. 24 hours a day online, you see, with Krishna. You have to always be in the mood of bhakti. That's always in the mood of bhakti. Yomam pashati sarvatra sravancha mai pashati tashahangna pranashyati satchamena pranashyati. Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text number 30. For one who sees me in everything and sees everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So you have to train yourself by the mood of devotion, how to always be connected with Krishna. By chanting, by offering your food, you see, by chanting, by tasting prasad, by hearing from Guru, by hearing from Vaishnavas about Krishna, by reading Prabhupada's books, you have to immerse yourself in Krishna consciousness. I see. By doing this, you'll never become disconnected with Krishna. And at the time of death, you will go to Krishna. You see, never to take birth again in this miserable material world of birth, death, old age, and disease. So now I can ask for questions. Anyone who's written a question, you can pass them forward now. If somebody wants to write a question, they don't have a piece of paper, raise your hand and someone will hand you a piece of paper. If you want to have a question and you don't have a piece of paper, raise your hand and somebody will give you a piece of paper. Hopefully. All right, the first question. Sometimes, despite chanting for so many years, we still do not experience the bliss and nectar of Krishna consciousness. Please kindly guide me on this point. Do you know why we don't taste the nectar? I can tell you exactly why we don't taste the nectar. It's due to aparad, the 10 nabamparads. The first is Vaishnava aparad, and that's the heaviest of all of them. If you can be very careful to develop nice quality relationships with all of the devotees, you see, then I can assure you, you'll get a wonderful taste from the name. If you're not getting a taste from the name, it's due to Vaishnava aparad. Try to see in what way I'm not having proper loving relationships with devotees, you see. It's all due to Vaishnava aparad. If you can have a nice attitude towards every single devotee, then you'll have very good japa, really sweet japa, I guarantee it. Just try it. Rectify all of your attitudes towards all the devotees. Try to appreciate every devotee, the good, the advanced devotees, the neophyte devotees, the kanishtas, the majjhams, the uttamas, everyone. Develop a nice attitude for all the devotees, and you'll be surprised how the name becomes so sweet. You'll be delighted, actually. Okay, next one. Sometimes we face so many obstacles in our spiritual efforts. As we try, the obstacles become more and more. Sometimes these hurdles are very hard to... Paper got folded here. They're very hard to beat or to bear. Okay. Well, you know what? If you remember Kunti Devi, you say, well, I can't handle all these obstacles. It's too much for me. But you know what? Kunti was begging for obstacles. Vipada shantita tashvat tatra tatra jagadguru bhavanam darshanam yatshad apunarbharva darshanam. This is Kunti's prayer in the Bhagavatam, first canto. That wonderful chapter, the prayers by Queen Kunti. She was saying, my dear Krishna, please give me more and more obstacles, because when these obstacles are there, I can do nothing but take shelter of you. And when I take shelter of you, I will no longer see birth and death. So instead of thinking, I can't handle this obstacle, that's because you're not appreciating it. It's actually Krishna's mercy. Krishna has given you an obstacle to help you become humble and take more complete shelter of him. You say, oh, obstacle, horrible thing. I don't want this obstacle. No, that's the wrong attitude. You'll never conquer the obstacle if you have a negative attitude towards it. Have a positive attitude towards the obstacles. And then you know what happens? As soon as you have a positive attitude towards obstacles, those obstacles now turn into stepping stones. Instead of blocks, they turn into stepping stones. That's a little insider secret. Try it, it works. In African countries, black magic is very common. Can one be totally liberated from black magic? Yes. If yes, how? By completely surrendering to Krishna. That's all you have to do. Krishna will relieve you from all bondage of this material world. Even a black magic spell, he can drive it away if you surrender to him completely. It is said that since the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the year 1486, he introduced a golden period, a mini Satya Yuga of 10,000 years, in which the Hare Krishna mantra will be fully effective. But what will happen to people on the earth, religious principles, after the passing of the 10,000-year period? What I mean is that will the Hare Krishna mantra still have the full potency for destroying the Kali Yuga's destructive influence? The answer is yes. Will there be any devotees around at that time? The answer, Prabhupada said, is no, there won't be. They'll all be back with Krishna. And pity those poor souls who didn't take advantage of chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said there'll be full facility for meat eating at that time. When you invite your neighbor over for dinner, guess what? Guess who's for dinner? If your neighbor invites you over for dinner, guess who's for dinner? You. That's how it'll be in those days. It'll be I eat you and you eat me. Whoever is more powerful, They will kill and eat. They'll all be cannibals. They'll be very heavy. No vegetarians around. It'll be cannibals. People, human beings will be eating human beings. That'll be wide-scale cannibalism on the planet Earth at that time. So I advise you to take shelter of Krishna's name and go back to Godhead now. Otherwise, as Prabhupada said sarcastically, those who are still here, they will see the fun, Prabhupada said. That's one fun I don't want to see. Okay. Is the spiritual master aware when the disciple offers his prayers and Guru Puja in his absence? Prabhupada answered this question in great detail in one letter. Because such prayers, whether the spiritual master is consciously hearing your prayer, he's in the middle of Bhagavatam class, you see, he's giving a lecture in the Bhagavatam, and the disciple in Australia is offering his obeisances, and the spiritual master can all of a sudden hear that the obeisance is coming in while he's giving the lecture. Is it like that? Like some radio broadcast, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. The guru can hear it while he's giving the lecture and he gets distracted from the question and answers as he hears the obeisances coming in. It's not like that. Of course, the spiritual master, the thing is, Krishna, the super soul, you see, is present in the heart of the spiritual master and the disciple. So whatever the spiritual master needs to consciously hear or be aware of, the super soul will tell him. That's a fact. And even if he doesn't get directly told, well, your disciple, so-and-so is now offering you his obeisances, and he's only doing it with one hand instead of two on the floor, so you need to chastise him the next time you see him. You see, whether he gets that kind of instruction or not from Krishna, Prabhupada says it will act positively. You see, even if the spiritual master is not consciously aware, Krishna is aware, and that obeisance is bringing you closer to your spiritual master by the mercy of Krishna and Guru. So if that doesn't fully answer your question, send me an email. I'll send you a copy of Prabhupada's letter in which he answered the question. But I summarized Prabhupada's letter for you. Okay. Hare Krishna. Can anyone go back to Godhead without paying his debt to devas, sages, ancestors, and especially our debt towards our mother? Actually, you have to pay off all your debt to go back to Godhead, and by surrendering to Krishna, all your debts are paid back automatically. That's all you have to do. All debts will be paid for just by surrendering to Krishna. You don't have to pay them off separately. Of course, you shouldn't be irresponsible at the same time. But ultimately, you should know that simply by surrendering to Krishna, all debts are paid for. Lord Chaitanya took sannyasa at the age 24. But to please his mother, he said... Actually, I heard Prabhupada the other day. He said, my dear mother... This body, you've given me this body, it is your property, but now I've done some mistake, I've taken sannyas, please forgive me. Very kindly he spoke with his mother in that way, Prabhupada said. But to satisfy his mother, he stayed nearby in Puri so she could get regular word of his activities out of kindness to his mother. So it's not that because I'm a devotee I can be callous to everyone, you see, not like that. You try to satisfy everyone to the best of your ability, but ultimately, by surrendering to Krishna, all of your debts are paid automatically. Hare Krishna Maharaj, is it absolutely necessary to take diksha to get liberation from birth and death trap? Has anyone gotten liberation without diksha? Yes, there is one example of somebody who got liberated without diksha. One Urdu-speaking man was walking in the forest, and a wild, now Urdu language, the Muslims, for them, the hog or the pig is condemned food. You don't eat that stuff. It's condemned. And they have a word, haram, which is for condemned food. So this wild boar in the forest was attacking him to kill him. And so in great anger, he said, haram, to that wild boar. As he died, he was uttering Haram. As he died, the last syllable on his lips was Ram. So he got liberated. And he wasn't initiated. So, if you think, well, I'd like to be liberated, but I don't want Diksha, well, go into the forest and let a wild boar kill you and chant Haram while he's killing you, and you might get liberated, you see. But if you don't feel like going to the forest and being killed by a wild boar, then I recommend you get Diksha, because Prabhupada said, without initiation, Krishna will not accept your service. He says it right there in the Nectar of Devotion introduction. Unless you're initiated, Krishna does not accept your service. Oh, I'm not initiated. Why should I do any service? No, he accepts it preliminarily that, well, this person is getting ready for initiation. I accept that. But it's fully accepted when you get initiated. You see? It's just like somebody audits classes. I don't know, do you have auditing here at the Mauritius? In the U.S., I remember the University of Texas, if you wanted to sit in on a class, you could do it without paying the tuition. You wouldn't get any credit, but the professors would let you sit in. It's called auditing. You can sit and hear the class, but you don't get any credit for university credit for it. So if you want the credit, you got to register in Krishna University. And that is called Diksha. If you want the full credit for your service, you have to register. You see, and you have to get initiated. You know, you say, well, come on. I mean, I'm a devotee of Krishna. I don't need to accept a guru. I'll just be a devotee of Krishna. Isn't that okay? Well, then really be a devotee of Krishna. You see? What does Krishna say in the Adi Purana? Ye me bhakta jana parata na me bhakta tate na me bhakta tate janaha mad bhaktanam chi ye bhaktas te me bhakta tamamata. He says, the one who is my devotee, Arjuna, O Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas. You know, can you figure out what it is in the Sanskrit? Na me bhaktas. He's not my devotee. Krishna directly tells Arjuna, the one who is my devotee is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So I ask you now, do you want to be a devotee of Krishna? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. Then are you willing to be the devotee of the devotee of Krishna? Yes or no?
Yes.
That's what you have to do if you want to actually be a devotee. If you're not a devotee of his devotee, and that's what Diksha means, you're formally committing yourself to be the devotee of the devotee. That's what Diksha means. It means now I am committed to being, I have made my pledge to be the devotee of this devotee. And then Krishna says, now I accept you're really my devotee. Before, I wasn't sure if you're really my devotee or not. But now that you're initiated and you're taking your vows seriously, you're chanting your rounds, you're following the principles, now I can see, yes, you are my devotee. How do we get a taste for Krishna? Here's a little insider secret. Give taste to Krishna. Let Krishna get taste from your service. You see? The more you give taste, the more you get taste. Chant Hare Krishna, chant your japa in such a way that Krishna will relish your japa. Do kirtan in such a way that Krishna will relish your kirtan. Cook offerings in such a way that Krishna will relish your offering. Offer the arti in such a way that Krishna will relish your arti. Distribute books in such a way that Krishna will appreciate it. Do everything in such a way that Krishna will relish it, and that is how you will get taste. If you want to get taste, you have to give taste. That's the secret. Please accept my humble obeisances. I'll go to the Prabhupada. You said that there is no anxiety in Krishna consciousness. But there are devotees who are preaching, who are in anxiety. Really? What's the anxiety? How you can be in anxiety? The only way to be in anxiety is like, I'll give you an example of being in anxiety, for a devotee in anxiety. Draupadi. The Kauravas were trying to disrobe her, you see. And she was thinking, well, Krishna save me. And then she was singing, but I'll also with my own strength. Now she was in great anxiety because they were disrobing her. And her honor was going to be violated in front of all these Kshatriya warriors. One hand to Krishna and one hand I will be the doer, you see. She was in anxiety. But when she said, I'm not powerful, I can't do this. All right, Krishna, just protect me. And then there was no anxiety, you see. Unlimited sari. So if a devotee has anxiety, that means he's got one hand to Krishna, the other hand is, I am the doer. You understand? That's why he's in anxiety. Both hands to Krishna, and then there's no anxiety. Okay. On the Nirjala Ekadasi, can someone drink water before 4:30 a.m.? Actually, Ekadasi goes from sunrise to sunrise. So if the sun has not risen by 4:30 a.m., which I don't think it has here, then you can do. You can tank up at 4:30 a.m. if you want. It's actually bona fide. You can do it. Okay. In this temple or in other temples, devotees play kartals and vompers so loud that one can become deaf. Well, you know, when I was a kid, my ears were damaged by loud noise, not from kirtan, but from rifle fire. I was in a military court, cadet corps. So I'm very sympathetic with this question. In fact, I told the drummer to cool it during keep it mellow during my kirtan because I'd have to run out of the temple room if he got too heavy. It is a problem that if it gets too loud, it can damage the ears. So let's see what the question is. I have lost my hearing since I joined ISKCON. Who is this? Whoever you are, you should get some very good earplugs. I recommend these are called Extreme. You can get them on the internet. You go to Heroes, HEAROS.com, Heroes.com, and order their Extreme earplugs. They're pretty good. If you have any, I recommend them. They're really good. They have the light ones also, but I recommend them for. I use them regularly. Little mundane advice in the middle of the transcendental nectar here. Okay, absorbed in some kind of other material activity, we feel happiness. Wait a minute. That's not real happiness. That's called illusory happiness. And now, according to the Vedas, this happiness is illusory. So how do we get convinced of the real happiness? There's an interesting example in this connection. There was one novelist. What was his name? His name was Richard Farina. He wrote a very nice novel. Well, it wasn't nice, but from a spiritual viewpoint. Well, the title was nice. I never read the book. I just heard the title. That's nice. He says, I've been down so long, it looks like up to me. In other words, they've been suffering so long that now I imagine that this suffering is happiness. Why would one do that? Why would one imagine suffering to be happiness? That we understand from the Vedic wisdom, anandamaya vyasat. The nature of the living entity is he is full of bliss. So the living entity who is full of bliss, if he's put into a situation which is nothing but misery, after a while, to compensate, he will imagine that misery to be happiness because he can't imagine living in a world where there's no happiness. It's absolutely psychologically devastating for him to live in a world where there's no happiness. So what does he do if he's in a world where there is no happiness? He imagines that the suffering is happiness. And that's why it happens. Okay. Three kinds of devotees. Okay, what about those not in any group? Oh, wait, let me at the back. When we feed the body directly, oh, there's two questions. Well, there are three kinds of devotees. There's Uttam Adhikari, Kanishta Adhikari, and Madhyam Adhikari. Every devotee is in one of those groups. Let's see. When we do not feed the body directly, we feel we suffer from hunger. Why don't we feel we are suffering from lack of love when we do not give love directly to Krishna? Actually, you are suffering from a lack of love when you don't give your love to Krishna. But under the influence of Maya, you are imagining that the so-called love of this material world is satisfying you. It's simply an illusion. That's all. Actually, no one is satisfied with the so-called love of this material world. But they sometimes think they are. Kadasi vows are meant for diminishing our past sinful activities, however big, like Mount Meru, they may be, etc. Then are we qualified to go back to God in this lifetime, including chanting the Maha Mantra also. If you do a Kadasi nicely, but you don't chant 16 rounds, you don't get initiated, you don't follow the principles, your Kadasi will not save you. You see? It is just like Prabhupada gives the example, snan, hati snan, the elephant bath. The elephant, he gets in the water, he takes his bath, and when he comes out of the water, how does he dry off? He rolls in the dirt. So one may do big ekadasi. Yes, I'm doing nirjal ekadasi. And after he comes off, he spends the whole morning watching television, you know, something like, instead of staying absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he goes back into mundane activities. So he just polluted himself, you see. So what you really have to do if you want to be liberated is you need to chant 16, you need to get initiated, chant 16 rounds, follow the four regular principles, and learn how to chant without any offense, avoiding the 10 nama parads. That's what you have to do to get liberated. Ekadasi alone, Ekadasi will help you to do that, but Ekadasi on its own will not liberate you. It will not. Is a devotee truly Krishna conscious only when he is initiated? Actually, initiation doesn't mean you're Krishna conscious. It means you've made a commitment that now I will become Krishna conscious. That initiation means I'm making a serious commitment to become Krishna conscious. Now, can you become Krishna conscious without making a serious commitment to become Krishna conscious? Is that reasonable? That without making any serious commitment, I will just automatically become Krishna conscious. I would like to get a PhD degree. And I heard that Rabindranath Tagore, without ever going to the university, he got an honorary degree. From the UK, I forget if it was Oxford or Cambridge, he got an honorary degree. So I'm just going to do what he did. I'm not going to ever go to school. I'm just going to wait for the mailman to bring me my honorary degree. You see? Now, is that if you want to earn a college degree, do you not enroll and you just wait for your honorary degree to show up? Well, that's why it's saying, well, I'll become Krishna conscious, but I'm not going to get initiated. It's not reasonable. It's not what Prabhupada said, nor does it make any sense. Initiation means I am committing myself to the process of sadhana bhakti. If you don't commit yourself to the process, how are you going to expect to get the result of the process? It doesn't make sense. Okay. When a man kills a cow, as a law of nature, he becomes a cow and is killed in his next birth. After that, what happens? They keep going back and forth. You see, he kills the cow. Now he's to become a cow and be eaten. And then he becomes a human being. He goes back and forth. Cow, cow eater, cow, cow eater, cow, cow, cow eater, cow, cow eater. For millions of births, he never gets out. It's pretty bad. He goes back and forth between a cow and a cow eater for millions of births, and he never escapes from it. I mean, the cow-cow-eater syndrome. Cow-cow-eater, cow-cow-eater, going back and forth for all of eternity. Let's see. But if somehow or other he comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, or he gets one of Prabhupada's books, he meets a devotee, and he gets the seed of bhakti in the form especially of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then he can become delivered. So, Hare Krishna Maharaj, how do you explain that if a devotee is eager to do some service but not so much eager to chant? This means that he is in the mud of passion. Chanting is a very sattvic activity. And you can be passionate about doing this thing, doing that thing, this project, this thing. You can put your passion into doing activities, you see. And that's great. We love devotees who are passionate about doing service. Fantastic. We love you. We want more of you. Yes, please. Become very passionate to do service. Very good. But if you don't want to develop the sattvic nature of chanting, I have to remind you that happiness in the mode of passion turns to poison in the end, according to Bhagavad Gita. You'll get tired of doing that service if you don't chant. After a while, you say, why are they not paying me? I'm working so hard. You see? You will lose the passion for the service if you don't cultivate the chanting. You'll lose that devotional service. So you need to chant along with doing the service to protect yourself. To keep yourself on the pathway, you have to chant along with doing the service. I've been informed that Gopal Krishna Maharaj is going... We're going to welcome him for a second lecture. It's a double header today. And I was supposed to end at 5, I see it's after 5, he hasn't come yet. So if somebody can let me know when he's coming, if the car pulls up, someone can just inform me. We shouldn't end it anyway, it's good? Okay. All right, I'll tell you what, we'll go ahead and have one last question. Can one go back to Godhead if he has only Namadiksha? The answer is yes. The Harinam initiation, Prabhupada said, is fully sufficient for liberation. The Brahman initiation is actually a recognition that yes, you have taken your Namadiksha, you're solidly fixed in it, and because of that, we recognize you as a Brahman, you see. But actually, that Namadiksha is sufficient. If you take Namadiksha, but everybody should take second initiation. But what happens if you leave your body, before you get it? Everyone should take second initiation. Because that means more responsibility. You see? Now I'm a Brahmin, I have to be more responsible to show the example, to preach, to do pujas, etc. To need to offer arati. So every Namadiksha devotee should come for second initiation. But if somehow you don't get it, first initiation is sufficient for liberation if you stick to your initiation vows and if you therefore remember Krishna at the time of death. Ultimately, you have to remember Krishna at the time of death. So, that all the questions have been answered. And I really wanted to thank you all very much for you've been very nicely paying attention. You've been tuned in. I've been seeing your faces. You've been tuned in very nicely to hearing and inquiring. I appreciate that very much. And I wish you all the very best on your pathway back to Godhead. Any way I can be of service to you and help you, please feel free. You can go to my email, sda@backtohome.com. S, like sugar, David Apple, Sankarshan Dasadikari @backtohome.com. I'll be happy to answer your questions. So I thank you very much, and we can stop here. Raja Vidra Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.